Let's pray once again, and then we'll kind of jump into what the Lord has for us tonight. Father, we're so grateful for who you are and what you do in our lives. You are love, and you love us deeply and dearly. Father, we thank you for your grace, your mercy that's new every morning, your grace that overflows from within us. And thank you for these gifts of grace as we talk about them tonight and as we endeavor to flow in them, as we endeavor to desire them more deeply and experience them more fully in our lives, not just in our midst and in corporate worship, but wherever we go, that you would use us to flow in these gifts of the Spirit, to reveal yourself, to reveal your Spirit, to reveal your goodness and your grace to the world around us. Father, that's your desire, and may we take hold that desire as our own as well. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've been talking about the gifts of the Spirit as described in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And of course, it's a flowing of 1 Corinthians 12 through 1 Corinthians 14, instructions for the use of the gifts of the Spirit. And also sandwiched in there is love, the great love chapter. And I love what the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 14, 1. It says, follow the way of love. Kind of a transition, a segue in from the love chapter into some instructions on how to operate in a church setting in the gifts of the Spirit. He says, follow the way of love and earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy, he says. So just for a little review, before we talk and break down just a part of the nine gifts of the Spirit, we're going to look at the vocal gifts tonight just to kind of prepare yourself for that. There are basically three categories of the gifts of the Spirit that we see defined here. Paul just kind of put some labels on how the Holy Spirit manifests himself, okay? So the gifts of the Spirit are, as we learned last week, the original Greek is the word spirituals, I think it was. Spirituals? the ways in which the Holy Spirit manifests himself. And he begins this discourse in 1 Corinthians 12, 1 by saying, now brethren, now sistren, concerning these spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be ignorant. So everybody say that. I don't want to be ignorant.
I don't want to be ignorant.
You don't want to be ignorant. You don't want to be uneducated, unlearned about the gifts of the Spirit, because you want to be able to know what they are, how they operate, and how you can flow in them in your daily life. And that's our aim through this series, is that not only would you become more educated and have more knowledge about them, but that you would actually apply what you learn in your life, okay? So, we don't want to be ignorant. Now, let's jump ahead to 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11. We'll just read this passage here. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So, these are the gifts of the Spirit, the charismata, the gifts of grace. Three of them, if we can categorize them as Paul does here, three of them say something. They are the vocal gifts. Three of them do something. They are the power gifts. And then three of them reveal something. They are the revelation gifts. So the vocal gifts include prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues. The power gifts, which we'll talk about next week, I believe, are the gift of faith, gifts of healings, and working of miracles. And then the revelation gifts are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. And we learned last week that in order for the gifts to operate, we have to cooperate. They require us to yield to the Holy Spirit. They require us to be in tune with what he wants to do, because we learned that the gifts of the Holy Spirit operate as he wills. And I think she made a distinction about that, that a lot of people use that as an excuse to not flow in the gifts of the Spirit, say, well, he's only willing every so often. But I believe the Holy Spirit would communicate to us that he's more willing than we give him credit for, because he wants to reveal himself. He wants to show his love. He wants to show his power. And he wants to speak to us in all of these different ways. All right. So we're going to talk about the vocal gifts tonight. So let's look there in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Just kind of jump ahead here. We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he really does a great job, Paul does, of kind of straightening some things out for the church at Corinth. You know, the church there in Corinth was really charismatic. They were just going after the things of God. They were really zealous for the things of the Spirit. And in that, there can be some fruitiness, some flakiness, some nuttiness, some kind of getting off base. And so Paul kind of sets the record straight about some things that they've been experiencing, and kind of a better way to do things, to bring order where there was once chaos, to bring clarity where there once was confusion. And so God does things decently and in order. And so he, Paul, brings some clarity here to how the gifts of the Spirit operate. So there we go in 1 Corinthians 14:1. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. So you see here that in these different vocal gifts, that there is two different classifications of operation, really, that you see a public side of these, like in use in a church setting, and there's also the private use of, like, tongues and interpretation of tongues. And so you can see this, that he outlines some things about tongues, that whoever speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. And it's talking about your personal prayer language. When you speak in tongues, you're not speaking for anybody else to hear other than to God, right? And it says, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. You're declaring divine secrets when you speak in tongues. And so differentiating between the public use of tongues and the private use of tongues here, that every believer, everyone who believes in Jesus, has the opportunity to be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. And he wants everyone to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? I think we made that pretty clear last week. Then it goes on to say, but he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. So he kind of switches over and he's talking about really the public side of things. When you're prophesying, you're speaking. And the purpose of prophecy is edification, comfort, and exhortation. Okay? Can you say that? Edification, comfort, exhortation. Let me describe, kind of define these three different vocal gifts for you. Prophecy is supernatural utterance in a known tongue. Okay, so that's you in this country, and you in your known language, whether it's English or Spanish or whatever your native tongue is, you're speaking inspired by the Holy Spirit, speaking forth for the purpose of edification, exhortation, and comfort. Okay, we'll get into a little bit more of this and kind of unmuddy the water in just a minute. But this is a supernatural utterance. It is a vocal miracle. It is something that you receive from heaven, the Holy Spirit prompting you in your spirit to give forth a word of prophecy, if you will, a word of exhortation, comfort, and edification. Supernatural utterance in a known tongue, your native language, all right? Diverse kinds of tongues is supernatural utterance in an unknown tongue. And again, this is, when we talk about diverse kinds of tongues, this is in a public ministry setting, okay? So if you were to stand up here, or you were to jump up out of your seat, you know, and you say, I have a word, or I have something, and you begin to speak out in tongues, and it's different than when we're all together praying in the Spirit together corporately in worship. It's a different, there's a different feel to it. So There is a lot of confusion in the church at Corinth. I think there's a lot of confusion in the church today as to how to operate in speaking in tongues. And is it okay for us to pray in tongues together when we worship together, when we come to churches? The scripture says that there must be an interpretation. And so I heard somebody say this, like, if you don't have an interpreter, then you can't pray in tongues. But if we're all praying in our own private prayer language corporately, and there's no message, we're all speaking to God, we're not speaking to one another. So therefore, we are edifying ourselves and building up ourselves. We're praying out these divine secrets, these divine mysteries, and the supernatural things. And so there doesn't need to be an interpretation in that sense, because we're praying to God and not publicly to men. Does that make sense? But there is a difference if, for whatever reason, something takes place and we're all together praying here in the Spirit together. We have a prayer time. Everybody gets quiet and people stop praying in tongues, and then you just start off and you're praying in tongues on your own, and it gets a little bit more loud, and you're the only one doing it, then, okay, what's happening now? Is this the gift of tongues, the diverse kinds of tongues in operation? And it could be. And in that sense, if you're declaring something, and you'll notice that there's a shift, and you'll sense it, that there's a shift. And so it's a supernatural utterance in an unknown tongue. And in that case, you would need someone to display this gift, the interpretation of tongues, which is a supernatural showing forth of that which has been said in an unknown tongue. So the interpretation of tongues is not a translation. Let's make that clear. It is a, let's call it a paraphrase, if you will, but it's a supernatural utterance in your known tongue. You're interpreting what has just been said and spoken in tongues in that, again, the public setting. Does that make sense? I hope so. And he says that, so prophecy, whoever prophesies, he says, is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless he interprets, so that the church may receive edification. So basically you have prophecy, which can stand alone because it edifies the church, and then you have tongues and interpretation. If they're combined together, it is equal to prophecy. It's almost like you've got a dime or you got two nickels equals a dime. But one nickel isn't as valuable as a dime. Does that make sense? So if we have a tongue, and we expect an interpretation of tongue for the church to be edified. And he goes on in 1 Corinthians 14 to kind of display these things and talk a little bit more and kind of unpack some of this stuff. So it's really a fascinating chapter, and I really want you to kind of dig in there. Read it on your own this week, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and man, if you have any questions about some of that, shoot us a message in the Facebook group. I hope to answer some of those questions tonight that may come up. I've had a ton of questions over the years myself when it comes to some of this stuff, and what I'm sharing with you tonight, the bulk of it comes from Kenneth Hagin's study course on the Holy Spirit and His gifts. And if you, that's what I was saying to Pastor Susie earlier, there's so much that you could share, because it's a huge study, and that's what we're doing tonight. It's more teaching than preaching, if you will. Studying the Word of God and looking deeper into these different ones. And so we endeavor to share as much as we can, but inevitably we don't have the time to unpack everything. Okay, so I want to give you that as a resource. Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin, the Holy Spirit and His Gifts study course. All righty. Now, let's talk a little bit more about prophecy. To prophesy in the Hebrew is to flow forth. It carries with it this thought of bubbling forth like a fountain, like something coming up. And it's interesting how that phrasing is, because it's something coming up from within, bubbling forth. It doesn't come from your natural thought. It doesn't, like we were in this conference a few years ago, and we had this session on how to prophesy, okay? And so we're in there, and the guy's trying to explain as best as he can, like, how do you do this, you know? And it almost felt, in a sense, kind of like the TV show Psych with Sean Spicer. And anybody know what I'm talking about, Psych? So the guy, he's like really, observant. Yes. So like he notices things, you know, and he calls himself a psychic investigator, right? But he's really just like a super observant guy, and he sees things kind of like a Sherlock Holmes type character, where he sees things that nobody else sees, but they're, you know, clearly visible, not necessarily to the naked eye, but to his trained eye. And so I got this sense that while we're in this this session about how to prophesy, that this is kind of what the guy was trying to get us to do, like be a little bit more observant about people. Like if they're wearing a shirt that has flowers on it, then, you know, you say something like, man, you have such a beautiful spirit, and, you know, all this kind of stuff. Or like if they have an apple on their shirt, like, oh man, I think you're destined to be a teacher, and just this weird stuff, right? And it's not that, okay? It doesn't come from your mental faculties. It doesn't come from what you visually see, you know. We were at this other service a while back, and Harry was there, and he had this giraffe on his shirt, and Harry likes giraffes, you know, and he gets up there, and this guy has a word for him, and he does this whole thing. He's like, I see you, and you're kind of like you're like an owl, and your eyes like one owl, and you've got a long neck like a giraffe. And I'm like, wonder where that came from. And I mean, it was a good word. It was sure it was encouraging and, you know, edifying. But it was almost like you just Sean Spencer'd him. Yeah. Was that the Holy Spirit, or was that Sean Spencer? I don't know, man. And so it's weird. But the thing is, it is a supernatural utterance in a known tongue. And so it's seeing something that you couldn't normally have seen. That's not visible to the naked eye, but could be visible to the trained eye. If you train your eye and your ear to the Holy Spirit and you get in tune with Him, then He reveals something to you. And a lot of times I'm getting over maybe into word of wisdom, word of knowledge, because that's more of the revelation gifts, what He shows you about somebody or about yourself or however the case may be. But prophecy is often the vehicle through which those revelation gifts flow. Because they have to be spoken forth. Don't have to be, but, you know, it would be good for the person hearing it, for it to mean something. So, Hebrew, kind of got off track there. The Hebrew is kind of a bubbling forth, the prophecy, to prophesize, the bubble forth. The Greek word that's translated prophesy means to speak for another. So, prophesy can mean to speak for God or to be His spokesman. Now, a lot of people have taken that to an extreme, and they almost preface everything they say with, thus saith the Lord. And we know that some of the things that they're ascribing to God, or Him saying those things, probably aren't necessarily God saying those things, but because we slap a thus saith the Lord on it, then we think it carries more weight, it gives us more authority. That's why you always have to judge a prophecy in light of the written word, in light of how the Holy Spirit's already spoken to you. Because a lot of times when somebody prophesies to you, it can be a confirmation, which is also a source of comfort and edification and exhortation. So it can be a confirmation of something that the Lord has already spoken to you. When somebody speaks, gives a word to you, a prophetic word, then it can be edifying in the sense that it's confirming something that the Holy Spirit has already spoken to you. But if somebody says, thus saith the Lord, you know, you are to get this job and marry this person and do this and that, and then you have to just kind of back up and say, wait a second. You can't take every prophecy as if it's Bible truth. Is that clear? I see a lot of head shaking, so that I feel like you're on the same page with me. But prophecy is important. So I don't want to caution you in the sense that you're going to be like super skeptical about everything that somebody says to you and as they're inspired by God, because there are many counterfeits. That doesn't make up for the fact that there is an original purpose for this, and it's for us to be edified, to be exhorted, and to be comforted. 1 Corinthians 14:39, Paul says, "Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues." So he has this whole discourse, and then at the end he kind of wraps it up and says, guys, prophecy is important. Desire this. And you and I should desire this. Now, we talk about, we ask the question, well, what is the best gift? You know, what is the best gift of the Spirit? And some people would say, well, prophecy is the best gift because of how much time Paul spends talking about it. But really, we've learned this. I think we've already talked about this before, that the best gift is the gift that's needed in the moment. So if we've had somebody up here speaking in tongues, the best gift is going to be, in that moment, an interpretation of tongues. If somebody needs to be healed miraculously, the best gift isn't going to be a prophecy for them. The best gift is going to be the gifts of healings, right? So the best gift is the gift needed in that moment. But as far as the vocal gifts go, prophecy is more valuable than tongues, more valuable than interpretation of tongues. But again, tongues and interpretation of tongues equals prophecy, because it is a supernatural showing forth of what God is speaking to us, all right? All righty. All right, so edification. What is edification? Edification is building up the church. Okay, all of these gifts are for the profit of all, to build up people, to encourage them. So edification is building up the church to strengthen and benefit the body. Exhortation is a calling nearer to God. And then comfort is to set at ease or to encourage. Okay, so these are the main three purposes for prophecy, and furthermore for the coupling of tongues and interpretation of tongues. So if somebody gets up and they prophesy and they're speaking doom and gloom and destruction and you know, just calling you out on things and tearing you down, then you got to judge that and say, well, that's not really the simple gift of prophecy, because it's not edifying, it's not exhorting, it's not comforting. Now, there could be something uncomfortable about a prophecy, in the sense that it would convict you in some manner. And so in that sense, it could be like, oh, wow, ow, ouch, right? But it is an inspired utterance, but that's also part of that exhortation. So exhortation doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to feel all the warm fuzzies all the time. It means that somebody's calling you nearer to God, calling you nearer to God's purpose for your life. And it truly is an inspired utterance, God's special message for that moment, specifically for you or for the body at large. Okay? Good. I feel like you're getting it. I hope you are. Two forms of prophecy that we see. One is foretelling. That is forecasting future events, and that's what we see. The main form of prophecy and the gifts of the Spirit in the Old Testament was a foretelling. You see the prophets foretelling about the birth of Jesus, and we have numerous prophecies about that, right? This is the main form of prophecy in the Old Testament. Then there's forthtelling. It is a speaking unto men, again, edification, exhortation, and comfort, telling forth, and it's the main form of prophecy that we see in the New Testament. We also see that all can have the gift of prophecy. Everyone can have the gift of prophecy. If we couldn't have the gift of prophecy, he would not have told us to desire, especially that you would prophesy. So you can all flow in the gift of prophecy as he wills. Amen? God would not have us desire something that wasn't available to us. But there have been misuses of prophecy, and you have to be aware of those things. One of the things that people would misuse prophecy for is to manipulate others into doing something that they want them to do. And that's wrong. It's bad. Don't do that. But let's look at Acts 13. Let's look at Acts 13. Verse 1, it says, now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. Lists some of them: Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, everybody say, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So let's look at this a little bit. Now, these guys, they got together, and they were praying, and they were fasting. So in the midst of them praying together, there seems to be a gift of the Spirit in operation here. Because it says, while they were ministering to one another, while they were praying, while they were fasting, the Holy Spirit said, okay, now, do you suppose that this was an audible voice from heaven? Or could it be that one of the prophets prophesied as a spokesman for God? I believe that's exactly what took place. And as one of these believers speak on behalf of God, it describes it to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit speaks through one of the prophets and says, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Now, one thing to note here is that the word called is past tense, as in Barnabas and Saul have already been called to ministry. It's not a prophecy in the sense of, now Barnabas and Saul, you guys are now called to ministry, because thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Holy Spirit, you're now called to ministry. No, it was a recognizing of something that had already been taking place, had already taken place in their life, in their lives, and making that more of an ordination, if you will. If someone's ordained into the ministry, it isn't a sudden realization that, oh yeah, now you should be doing ministry. If someone's ordained into the ministry, it's because they've already been doing ministry. They've already sensed the call of God on their lives, and they're stepping into it in a public sense, being commissioned for that specific work. And that's what we see taking place here in Acts 13 as we look at the gift of prophecy in operation here, that it's not someone being manipulated to do something or to be sent somewhere. It's something that's a confirmation and a comfort, because they may have, who knows, man, Barnabas and Saul may have been doing the work for the Lord, but they may have been struggling with it. Like, I don't know. I mean, have you ever felt that way? You know, you're doing something, you feel like you may be doing something right, but there's also this struggle, and you don't really understand, you don't know. You know, there's this confusion. And so what would it mean to you, to somebody, to say, hey, you're called? Would that be comforting? Would that be edifying? Would that be exhorting? Would that be a confirmation of something God's already doing in your heart? And I think that's what's taking place here for Barnabas and Saul, is as they're praying, as they're fasting, they're in God's presence. And so another thing we can see about that is, as we're together in the presence of God, as we're praying, as we're worshiping, we can expect the Holy Spirit to manifest himself in these ways. And we should expect that. And it shouldn't be deemed weird or confusing. It should be like, we desire these things to take place because people need to hear a word from God. They do. And we have the written word, and we live by the written word, and we judge every word of prophecy or every word of the vocal gifts by the written word. But sometimes you need a specific word. I've received specific words of prophecy in my own life, whether they were words of knowledge or words of wisdom flowing through the vehicle of prophecy, that have really marked me for ministry and various things that I've experienced. One of them was years ago, and I believe I've shared this before here, but years ago in the church that I grew up in, I mean, we saw some weird stuff, guys. Anybody seen some weird stuff in the church? Just admit, you know, we're all the fellowship of the weird here. Like, no doubt, it seemed like every Sunday there was this lady in the church who had a PhD, a Pentecostal hairdo. Seriously, like the Marge Simpson, beehive and all. Every Sunday, man, she would stand up, and after we sang I'll Fly Away, Oh Glory, or whatever it was, she just spoke out in tongues, like every week, okay? And I got, you know, I didn't, I, at this point, reflecting back, I know a little bit more, but at this point in my life, I'm like, there she goes again. There's the weird blue-haired lady saying the gibberish. And I had no idea, but looking back, I'm thinking, well, I don't know if that was the Lord every single time. My brother went back to the church that we grew up in, and he preached, matter of fact, on New Year's Day this year. And he got to talking with the pastor's daughters who were there at the time, and he got to asking some of these questions, like, why, what was going on there? We saw some weird stuff here, right? And just trying to figure out what was happening in our childhood growing up at this church. And so they're like, no, you're right. There's weird stuff, you know? And then there were times where their dad, who was the pastor, who's now gone on to be with the Lord, actually had to, there were things done in private in the church setting where people are corrected, you know, because you don't necessarily say, sister, that ain't right now. But you just go with it, swallow it up with, you know, whatever the Lord gives you to kind of correct the situation in the moment, but never bring, you know, a public correction to someone to tear that person down. And so they told my brother, like, yeah, there were times when he had to tell her, yeah, you missed it today. That wasn't, you don't need to do that every Sunday. You know, that wasn't right, you know. Like, there was a tongue, but then there was no interpretation of tongues. And so it was out of order, right? So, in that church setting, in the weirdness and everything that took place, there was a word of prophecy that I got that really marked me in my life. There was one service where we had, and I forget all the details, but we were gathered around in a circle, and at one point they call me forward, and they bring me up, and the guy says, take off your shoes. And I'm like, okay, what's up with that? So I said, sure. And it wasn't one of those things where the place you're standing on is holy ground, because we've heard that numerous times. Like, everywhere we go is holy ground, right? And trying to, you know, there's the burning bush right there. Oh, boy. Okay. literally, it's the stained glass. Okay. But they say, take your shoes off. Okay, so I take my shoes off, and the guy grabs these, the prayer cloths. Did you ever see those? Like, you pray for the prayer cloths, and you're supposed to give them to somebody, your unsaved friend or family. It was based on, like, Acts 19, I believe, with Paul and the handkerchiefs and whatnot, and how the people that received them, they received healing. And so anyway, we'd take some of this stuff, and we would try to manufacture something or literally do some of this, right? So they put the prayer cloths, they anointed them with the oil, and they put the prayer cloths in my shoes and said, okay, put your shoes on. Yeah, see, it's weird, right? But that, and to me, and the word that they said was a sense of your, essentially to me, what I received from it is that you're called into the ministry. And like everywhere you step there, that God will be with you, and you know, this whole thing, right? So it really marked me. And I mean, I took those prayer cloths and I put them in every pair of shoes that I own. Not like multiple prayer cloths in all the shoes, but every pair of shoes that I would wear, I would take those out and I would stick them in those shoes for the longest time. So it really meant a lot to me, you know, because I'm, you know, 10, 11 years old, don't know what in the world's going on in this church, don't know what I'm going to do with my life, but that really meant something to me. And then looking back, I see that it had a profound impact on my life. And so, and that's what the simple gift of prophecy is, you know, and that could have been a word of wisdom and flow through the vehicle of prophecy or whatever, but it really was something that edified me and exhorted me and comforted me. And there have been multiple cases of that in my life and in my ministry as I've gone places, different conferences. I remember a youth camp we went to a number of years ago in Wise, Virginia. The main speaker called Kristen and I up and had this super awesome word for us that really meant, like, it was a, really, this word for us catapulted us into stepping out into the supernatural in our youth ministry. Like, it really did, because it marked me for that, the opening the door to the supernatural in our youth ministry. And we saw some amazing things come about as a result of that. And that's good. You know, when God operates in that way and we allow him to use us in that way, we can be that same, we can have that same impact on somebody else if we would allow him to use us in that way. I haven't done as much teaching as I thought I would here, but we only have about 10 more minutes. So I want to share a few stories with you that I hope would communicate some of these truths as well. So after that, this was a few years after that word from minister's name was Brad Brady at this youth camp about stepping into the supernatural in our youth ministry and expecting God to flow in that way. We changed some things up in how we did our services, and we began to expect the supernatural to flow, and we began to expect healings every time we met and people being saved. And at that point in the youth ministry, I'd never taught about, as far as in an evangelistic setting, I never taught about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so the Lord spoke to me about not hiding any of that, or not really to preach the full gospel, to expect people to experience all the fullness of God and not just, you know, well, this is for like a back room, you know, once you get them in here, then you get them in here with the pizza and the games, then you go into the back room and then you pray with them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he was like, what are you doing, man? What are you ashamed of, really? And that was uncomfortable for him to speak that to me, but it was also exhorting because it made me realize I'm not ashamed of this. It's been a huge benefit. Speaking in tongues and praying in the Spirit has been a huge benefit in my life. And why wouldn't I want everybody to experience that? And so through God speaking to me personally and then confirming it through the word from Brad Brady, we began to change things in how we did things. We preached on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and there were all these first-time guests and people from denominational churches. And in that service, we prayed with like 12 kids to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It was incredible. It was like a confirmation to me, like, hey, you're on the right path here. We began to see all kinds of healings and miracles take place through the hands of our students as they stepped out into supernatural ministry as well. And we kind of made a shift a little bit later down the road, and we began to do these E3 services, the Empowerment Evolution Experience. And in one of these services, we had, I kid you not, like 9 kids here. And in our O2 services and the similar thing that we'd done, we'd had up to, at one point, 100 kids. And so there was some discouragement take place. There was some of our, I mean, like 9 people, 6 of them were the band, okay, when we started. Remember this, Courtney? You're probably here. And then a few of our staff. And so one of them comes up and says, well, should we just go to Chick-fil-A and eat? And I was like, no, God's got something for tonight. You know, we're here. We're going to do our service. And, you know, certainly we could fellowship and whatnot, but I felt like that I needed to minister to every single person individually that night. And so that's what we did. We went on with our service, and then I said, hey, guys, I just want to pray for everybody here. Lay hands on you and see what the Lord would say to us. And so we had this supernatural service, guys. It was, to me, it was the most supernatural experience that I've had in my life and ministry up to that point. Really, like it was, and you'll, when I share it with you, you'll be like, oh yeah, that's crazy. So I'm going down the line and I'm praying for each student, and it was so supernatural because I felt like I'm really now stepping into the gifts of the Spirit, like flowing in them, yielding to the gifts of the Spirit. And so for each person, I had something different that I'm praying for them. I wasn't like, oh, your shirt, you got butterfly, you know, earrings. Like, it wasn't any of that. It was like, close my eyes and pray, and as soon as I opened my mouth, it was like something I didn't know to say before I began to say it. And that's prophecy, supernatural utterance in a known tongue. I didn't know it before, but it was supernatural. It was God using me to speak to each person. And every person, it was something different. And you can tell when it means something to you, when you open your eyes and you see the look on their face and you see the tears flowing down their eyes, and you're like, man, this is it. This is exactly what they needed. And it wasn't something that they would, you know, arbitrarily open to a chapter and verse in the Bible and see that specific word for their life, but something that they needed to hear from the Holy Spirit about their future, about their right now, about what they're experiencing, about something that he wants them to do. And it was different for each person. Supernatural. I get down here and I'm praying right here in this area right here for our very own youth ministry director. This was 2013, so he would have been 15, 16 years old, right? And I began to pray for him and minister to him. And a couple of years before, we had had the impact meetings, and he had made it a goal, and he made this goal public and shared it with everybody that he was going to pray with 75 people that summer to be saved, all right? So I began, you know, just saying, well, you know, just that came up in me, like, you know, no, you're going to pray with more than 75. And he'd already prayed with more than 75. But no, and then I said, no, it's going to be 75,000. No, not 75,000. It's going to be 150,000. I start saying these things, and I'm like, what in the world are you doing? You're an idiot. Why are you saying these things? And I just keep praying over them, you know, praying them, speaking out these things that I felt like the Holy Spirit was giving me. And I move on to the next person and pray for them. And again, something supernatural for that person. So, thinking back on this, I'm like, man, that was so foolish. Why would I say that? What does that even mean? You know, why would I tell this kid he's going to pray with 150,000 people to be saved? This is Grayson, first of all. Like, the kid wears Velcro shoes. I mean, like, he's wearing gym shorts and a polo shirt to church. Like, this 150,000 people, like, so after the service, I'm like, man, everybody else, like, it was awesome, and they're crying, and I get to him, and I'm like, boy, you really missed it on that one. So I look up after service, and, you know, here he comes, and he talks to me for a minute, and he kind of ministers to me, and he says, don't be afraid of looking foolish or feeling like an idiot. And I'm like, wow, you really read my mail, man, because I really felt foolish and like an idiot. And then Grayson comes back from behind the little sound booth area that we had, and he is as red-faced as a beet, and he's got, like, his tears everywhere, right? He's, like, sobbing and snotting everywhere. And he's like, Pastor Nate, I got to show you something. And he hands me his phone. And on this phone is an app that he had been using while he was in Australia and China and during his prayer times. And it was called My Secret Pink Diary is the app that he was using. So I'm like, okay, why are you showing me this? This is weird. And so he shows me this. And I wrote it down. What do you write? Let me pull it up. All right, so he hands me this iPhone, the Secret Pink Diary app, something that he had written 3 weeks earlier, okay? Started off with some, you know, silly Grayson banter that made me chuckle a little bit, but then my jaw dropped and I started welling up with tears myself when he had written that he felt that God wanted him to reach 150,000, a far cry from the 75. Literally what he had written 3 weeks earlier. And I couldn't believe my eyes. I was like, I am bawling at this point myself, because, like, how did I know that? I didn't know that. I'd never seen this. I didn't know he had a Secret Pink Diary app. I didn't know. And if I did, we would have had a different conversation, you know? But, like, to me, it was just such a confirmation of, yeah, I really want to use you in this manner, not just you, but anybody who desires earnestly that they would prophesy. And, I mean, his confirmation, God's confirmation to Grayson, and that exhortation and comfort and edification to him was just as much a confirmation to me because of my concern of being used by God in this way. And sometimes you'll have that. Sometimes if you have, you know, if you are so inspired to give somebody a word, you feel like God wants you to share something with somebody, you know, there are some practical things you can do. Of course, you need to step out. Don't be weird, you know, like, and it's hard. It's hard not to be weird sometimes. But you can do it in a way that you're not weird. So, like, just an example, a couple weeks ago, I was at Planet Fitness working out, and my gym partner Wesley didn't show up, so I was working out by myself that morning. And I'm over there, and I'm on the I'm doing this routine, and I, one of the machines that I was about to use was next on my list. There was somebody sitting in the who was using it, and so I was like, well, I'll just do the one beside him, which is not the same machine, but it works the same muscles. Besides the point, he gets up, he walks by me. And when he walks by me, he just, you know, goes the head nod. He's an older guy, and he says, how you doing? And I just kind of, you know, pleasantries. And then I just sensed on the inside, ask him about his heart. And I'm like, that's weird. Where I'm working out, man. I'm not trying to raise my blood pressure, man. What's, you know, what's going on? So he's asking about his heart. And so I just kind of brushed it aside for a little bit. because he was wiping down his machine, and I was about to hop on that one. And so then it got stronger, like ask him about his heart. So I'm like, okay, how do I do this? We are at the gym. You don't talk to people at the gym. You just grunt and stare and sweat and lift things up and put them down. So I see the guy over there, and he's on the leg press machine, and I walk over to him, and I said, hey, man, excuse me, you got just a second? And I said, I don't want to be weird. And he's already like, this is weird. Yeah. I made it weird, but I felt impressed to ask you, how's your heart? That's all I did, you know. The Lord didn't tell me to ask, you know, that's all he said. Ask him about his heart. How's his heart? I asked him, how's his heart, you know, and he kind of looks at me with this blank stare, and so I start grappling, and I'm like, you know, have you had a recent breakup, or, you know, I'm trying to, like, feed him stuff, but the Lord didn't tell me that. He didn't say he's had a breakup, go pray for him, his heart's broken. No, he just said, ask him about his heart. And so I kind of go off of it, and he stops me for a second. He's like, no, it's really touching that you said that, because 3 weeks ago, I had a aortic bypass surgery. I had a heart attack and I almost died. And began to share with me the details of his experience and the whole thing. And he said, and you know what my pastor told me? And he said that you're still here for a reason. And I got to pray with this guy. I ministered to him. And it was really a comfort to him and an edification for him. Something that I had not known about. And so as I yielded to the Holy Spirit, he gave me more words for this guy. And it was awkward. You can't deny the fact that you're praying with somebody beside the leg press machine. It feels a little strange, but it shouldn't be, because that's who we are as believers, as ministers of reconciliation. As we desire for God to use us in this manner, and it's not just for inside these four walls, guys. I would urge you that there's a greater purpose for the gifts of the Spirit than just for us to feel better about our lives. It's to reveal the God of the universe to people and show them that he loves them deeply, that he cares about the specific things in their life. And it marks people. It's marked me in my life. And I'm sure you've had experiences in your own life where people have said some things that they couldn't have known otherwise, unless God revealed it to them. So we need to desire, follow the way of love, desire earnestly that we would have these spiritual gifts, and especially that we would prophesy for the edification, the exhortation, and the comfort of men and women. Well, let's pray. I didn't share everything that I needed to share, but that's why I say go read that book. It's available online. Matter of fact, all the chapters there are available online for free. You can look it up. Kenneth Hagin, the Holy Spirit and His Gifts. So just wanted to whet your appetite a little bit tonight for the gifts of the Spirit, that you can experience these things in your daily life. And I believe that it starts in your private, in a private setting with you. Like if you're praying in tongues, pray, Lord, help me interpret this. God, give me the interpretation of this. Prophesy to yourself. Edify yourself. Comfort yourself. Exhort yourself as the Holy Spirit reveals things to you. And then you'll begin to operate in them in a more public setting, or, you know, the marketplace or wherever he leads you. And be sensitive to that. Like if you're, you know, pumping the iron, be sensitive to the Lord speaking to you. And then obey. And then he'll trust you with more things to give to more people. And the end result will be God getting the glory and people being transformed. And that's what we want to see. Father, we are so grateful that we can flow in the gifts of the Spirit. That these gifts are available to us, that if they weren't available to us, you would never have told us to desire them, to earnestly desire these gifts. So, Father, we just turn up our desire tonight. Earnestly desire the gifts of the Spirit in operation in our lives. We desire them in operation in our church, in these settings as we practice together. But we also desire them in operation in the marketplace and wherever we go in our worlds, so that you would be glorified, that people would know your love, Oh, that people would know your love in a tangible way, that you would reveal the secrets of their hearts and they would fall on their face and worship you. Thank you, Father, that people would be turned to you as a result of us stepping out in obedience to flow with you in what you're saying. Well, just right where you're at, if you desire God for God to use you in this way, just tell him about it. Say, God, I desire for you to use me. I want you to use me in this way. I desire that I may prophesy. Father, help me to prophesy and speak on behalf of you. Help me to speak on behalf of you. Oh, help me to expect that. Expect to speak on behalf of you as I go to work tomorrow, as I, you know, go to the grocery store, as I'm out and about in my daily life. Help me to expect to speak for you. Oh, we're expecting supernatural revelation. We're expecting supernatural utterance, and we're also expecting supernatural power to follow. Thank you for it. We give you praise. We give you honor, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.